Glory to God. Let's just take a moment. Great song on healing, amen, and freedom. And let's lift up Pastor Scott at this time. He's got some illness in his body, and some have already been praying. Let's just believe for his healing. And there's others in the body who have things. We don't know them all. You know, God knows. And just let's just exalt Jesus and receive our rights as his children. Amen. Our God, one of the redemptive names of the Lord Jesus is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Amen. He promised to take sickness out of our midst. Amen. And by his stripes, we were and we are. Amen. Healed. And he sent his word, right? And he healed them. So let's expect nothing less than what Jesus paid the price for. Amen. Through his broken body and shed blood, we just come to exalt his name, Lord Jesus. We lift Pastor up to you right now and the other needs in our midst, Lord, those who are battling affliction, whether it's those who've been battling disease, cancer, or even just a common cold, whatever the illness is, we're just coming as your children, Father, again, and you've given us rights. And we're coming with confidence right now, Father, to the throne of your grace. And we're asking you to take sickness out of our midst, out of our bodies, out of our homes. Those who have sinus infections, those who have sinus problems, those who have allergies, cancers, heart issues, diabetes. It doesn't matter what it's called. We take authority over it in the name of Jesus. And sickness and disease must go in the name of Jesus. And Father, we're asking you to touch Pastor and refresh he and Greer. Touch them in their spirit, their soul, and their body, Father. Just continue to revive their hearts. Let them to continue to overflow with your grace and love and anointing into our lives. Father, we receive the victory of those stripes that you bore right now. Jesus, we exalt you and know that your name is above every name. Your name at which every knee shall bow. And every tongue confess. Great power in that name. Great authority. And we've spoken that word and we know it will not return void. But you'll watch over it. And perform it in our lives. We thank you for it, Father. And receive it with thankful hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 8 says that God did not spare his own son. That he loved us so much that he didn't spare his own son. And that's the greatest sacrifice, right? We know that without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sin or forgiveness or atonement provided for sin. And that no greater love can anyone express than to lay down one's life. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But I love how Romans 8 says it. It says that he didn't withhold his own son. How shall he not also with him freely give us? How many things? All things. So just as we heard about the lies of the enemy, our God is a giver. Amen. He's the father of lights, and what he's taking is what's harmful or not best, not eternally what's best for us from his perspective. And there's no better place to be than to be at rest and trusting Father. Just trusting him with our lives in whatever the circumstances we're in, whatever the trials or challenges, there's no safer place to be than in his arms. And trusting his word, trusting him with all of our hearts, our lives totally into his hands. Let God have total control and don't hold anything back. And that's the safest place. And that's where the rest is, in total surrender and total abandonment of our lives. And we're not doing God any great service or favor. Our lives are not our own. They're his. And Satan's always trying to get us to hold on to some area to think it's safer, to hold on to that area, or that we wouldn't be complete or happy, or to not have some right or some independence, because you don't know what God might do. What He's going to do is what He promised. And for you to be at rest in what He promised, you got to build a stronger, better relationship with Him. And the more you know Him, the more you're going to be able to trust Him and rest in what He said. Rest. Amen? And that rest comes from abiding in Him. That rest comes from, like He said to Moses, in His presence is where the rest is. So if your soul or your life needs rest tonight, probably some area, just cast your care upon Him. Just believe what He said. When Jesus was going to heal the man's daughter, and they came and they said, "Don't trouble the master. She's already died." You remember what Jesus said? Only what? Believe. Just only believe. Praise God. Amen. Do you remember when Martha was fretting and, "Man, if you had gotten here, Mary and Martha, if you had gotten here, he wouldn't have died." Remember what He said to them? "Didn't I tell you that if you only, you remember? Only what? Believe, believe you'd see what? The glory of God, man. You'd see the glory of God." Just believing and receiving. And I was just meditating on Romans 3 today, where it just says, "And we're justified freely by His grace." Just so powerful. Justified, pronounced righteous, cleared of guilt, God seeing you as if you never sinned, justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That word redeem means just to buy back. One of the simple renderings, to buy back through sacrifice, through the redemption that is in Christ. Justified freely, beloved. You receive that eternal life freely. And you need to think about that tonight. Freely. Can you say it? Freely. Can you say it again? Freely. Freely. He paid the price. Praise God. And He said it's finished. So ours is to do what? To believe and to receive. And it's upon all those who believe and receive. So as much as you're ready to take, He's available. So what's hindering you from taking more? What's hindering us from knowing Him more? Partaking more of Him. Spending more time with Him. Look at those areas where the Holy Spirit's speaking toward any area where there's excess in your life, excesses or overindulgence, where the flesh is being catered to or being given too much flesh, and your spirit's not being built up enough, and we just need to strengthen ourselves in the Spirit and be strong in the Lord, like Ephesians says, strong in the Lord and in the power of what? His might. And that happens as we wait upon the Lord, like Isaiah says, "Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew what? Their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles," amen, "and run and not be weary and walk and not faint." So that time of waiting, just tarrying in His presence. I just felt like the Lord quickened my heart and just said, just tell them. He delights in His children. He delights in getting time with you. He loves you and He wants to be with you. And He wants your heart to be with Him. So He's drawing us. And He says, "As I draw you and woo you, and I've been calling you to myself." The promise is if we draw near to Him, He said, "I'm going to draw near to you," right? And we're not only justified freely, but we have bold, we heard Sunday, confident access to the throne of grace, man. A God who's an ever-present help in time of trouble. A God who said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." A God who said, "I'll not allow you to be tempted past what my grace will enable you to endure. And in every temptation, I will make a way of escape." So sometimes it seems hard, impossible. I can't take anymore. I don't know if I can do this any longer. And you know what? Just get your eyes off the circumstance. Get your eyes off of your own strength, your own ability, what you think you can endure. And in your weakness, in your inability, in the area where you think you can't, look to Him and say, "Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Amen. The glory and the lifter of what? Our head. So when we're cast down, man, we are a people of hope. We're a people of hope. Our God is a God of hope. The God of hope, and 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says, and of all comfort. So I don't know if anyone needs comfort tonight, but not only has he given you the comforter to live in you, but whatever area in your life you need comfort, the Holy Spirit is here. Your God is a God of all comfort. He cares about your anxieties, the details of your life, the things that worry you, trouble you. He just said, just bring all those burdens, all those worries, all those anxieties, all those fears, and just trust me. I got your best interest in my heart. I will not fail you. My word will not return void. You are not forgotten. You are the apple of God's eye. He delights in his people. He delights in his children. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Man, we're a blessed people. And when our lives should be overflowing with thanksgiving. That doesn't mean you got to walk around like you're in total ecstasy all the time. I don't mean that. But our lives should be overflowing. We have so much to be thankful for. And if you're not seeing that, just step back and meditate on the cross. That's enough for us to stay thankful the rest of our lives. And so many times our eyes, we lose sight of it. Lord, thank you for what you did for me at Calvary. I now, as a child of God, I have bold access to the throne of God's grace. I have access to a holy God who no man can approach. And God says, you're my children. You've been redeemed by my blood. And by the blood, your faith in the finished work of my son, by his shed blood, you have bold access. You can just come and say, Abba Father, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And the Holy Spirit's bearing witness in your heart going, you're his son, you're his child. Satan's lying, fiery darts are coming, the Holy Spirit's going, nope, you're a child of God, you're accepted and the beloved, you're complete in him, your sins have been forgiven, they've been thrown in the sea of God's forgetfulness, as far as the east is from the west, your sins have been removed from you. And Satan comes to accuse you. To God and accuse God to you, and the Spirit of God rises up in you. Because what does Scripture say? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God lifts up what? A standard against them. Comes in one way and flees in how many ways? Man, you're more than a conqueror. Don't let Satan make you think you're defeated or that you're going to be defeated or that you can't finish this race or God's given up on you or it's too late to change. It's not. We heard in the utterance. Just get back up. Praise God. Get your eyes back on Jesus. He'll give you a new beginning, even today, even now. He'll revive you and meet you and encounter you right where you are. And if you encounter him right where you are, he won't leave you the same. Never heard of a person meeting Jesus and remaining the same unless they reject what he has for them. What a glorious Savior. What a mighty God. And just think of what 2 Corinthians says. You can turn there if you want to, but it says about God's glory. You think about this as you're turning there. Just hear these words. And we have this treasure in what vessels? And we have this treasure. And what's the treasure? The presence of God. Amen. But in the context, it says that the treasure is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face. Let me show it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh man, what a night. To 2 Corinthians chapter 4, excuse me. I'm trying to transition to a new Bible, so. But it says we have this treasure. Where am I? Verse 7, thank you. Pop up to verse 6 for a bit and just cut right into the middle of it. It says, who has shown in our hearts to look, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And we know that Hebrews 1 says Jesus is the express brightness, the glory of God being revealed. I mean, he came and showed what the glory of God is all about. But it, look at it. It says, we have this treasure, and this treasure is the knowledge of the glory of God. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. So what is it that we have need of that hasn't been provided for already? Nothing. Because God's given us everything that pertains to what? life and godliness. So if you see a lack, or you feel you're lacking, or you feel incomplete, or you're lacking peace, or whatever it is that you feel you don't have, you don't have your healing, you don't have freedom, you don't have victory in some area, there's still bondage in some area, you're not seeing the love of God flowing in your life, or whatever it is, that can change right now. Just like that utterance said, you're one decision away, just turning to Jesus and going, I need you, help me here. I'm desperate for you. I can't do this without you. I'm nothing without you. I need your grace. And you're now asking according to his will. You're coming in humility. You're asking things that are consistent with God's heart, with God's character, with God's will, with God's word. When you're asking him any area that has to do with being like him, that has to do with you being conformed to his image, you representing him accurately, he's not going to withhold any good thing. He's not going to withhold. Why? Because he's the giver of every good and perfect what? Gift. He doesn't change. He's not going to withhold from you what's going to contribute to making you more like Jesus. He's not going to withhold from you what's going to help you finish the race, what's going to help you be a better light and a better salt and a better husband, a better spouse, a better disciple. He's not going to withhold anything from you that helps you represent him more purely, more powerfully, that makes you a better witness, a better ambassador. Why would he want to withhold anything from you? Satan is a liar. He wants us to see God as just holding back on us. He's not holding back. And anything you think you're lacking or that hasn't yet come to pass or happened in your life, don't give in to the lie that God's holding back, that God doesn't want to bless you, that God doesn't want to give you the victory, that God doesn't want you to be more than a conqueror, because he said you are already. You might not be living like it, but you are already in the spirit realm. It's just you getting yourself to a place in your walk with him and your communion with him and your intimacy with him, where you can now, through relationship and intimacy and communion and obedience and worship, and you strengthen your relationship with him, and now you begin to now personally partake of all that's been promised. You become more of a partaker because you're digging your own well. You're making the priority of your life to know Jesus better, to know Jesus more, to get more, not just quiet time, quality time. And your heart gets stirred. And the more you taste, you realize that there's things in this life that are fun, that are very enjoyable, including fellowship and relationships and things we do and places we go and all kind of enjoyable things. There's nothing that compares to the presence of God. And the more you taste, the more you want to taste, and the more you step out to pursue to get more, the more opposition comes. The more principalities attack you, the more distractions come up. But we need that heart that was in Jacob that wouldn't be denied. He refused to be denied. And we need to refuse to be denied. Just like that lady, man. Just think of that lady. It said she spent all that she had on physicians and grew, got worse. It's like no matter what we're trying to get out of this world, there's until we have that touch of Jesus on us and we're back in that communion, it just, and she heard about Jesus. Now we haven't just heard about him. He's in our midst, right? He's in our hearts. He's an ever-present help in time of trouble. Right? He said, "Lo, I'll be with you always." He's Christ in us. He's alive in us. We have the life of Christ in us. She heard about Jesus and she said, "Man, I gotta get to him. I gotta get to Jesus." And there she went, man, going through. Now this is an ill person, right? She's got, I don't know what issue of blood is, but she had some serious issues. She's moving toward Jesus and there's all kind of crowds thronging him, right? And this lady's like, if I can just but touch the hem of his garment, man, I just gotta get to Jesus. I wonder how many people she went through. I don't know if she was ducking, going under their legs. I don't know if she was elbowing people. I'm not sure what she was doing. But that lady said, I gotta get to Jesus. You ever been there in your life? Where you're just in that place where you just gotta get to Jesus. You just need his touch more than anything. I mean, you see where you're at and you're like, man, what the state of my mind and where my attitude is and some of these areas in the flesh and some of where I'm looking at things and my perspective on life needs to be, I need a glimpse of the eternal. I need the touch of God. I need my heart revived. I need these thoughts brought into check. I need healing in my body. I need revival in my life. I need to return. I've gotten away from the word. My prayer life is kind of messed. I need to touch Jesus again. Who's going to deny you? That lady wouldn't be denied. It says she grew worse. She had already been to all these physicians. She had no more resource and her condition physically was worse. And she said, if I could just but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. And if you but touch the hem of his garment, whatever it is, I know I'll be set free from this lust, from these sexual areas that are holding me in captivity, from this anger, from this covetousness, from this pride, from this rebellion, whatever it is. If I could just but touch the hem of his garment, she wouldn't be denied. Jacob said, I will not let you. God said, leave me alone. I got to go. And Jacob said, no, I'm not letting you go until you change me. I will not let you go until you bless me. If you don't set your heart on it, it's not just going to come. The access is there. The blood's given us the access. Oh, that our hearts would long. Amen. That we would have a passion that is so strong for Jesus that we would let nothing and no one stop us from putting him first, from loving him the way he ought to be loved, from responding to his great love for us in an appropriate manner in correlation to how great his love for us is. He loves us so much, we love him so little. Oh God, that our love would be greater, stronger. That we would treasure him the way he deserves, the way he ought to be treasured. That we would have the right worth on his presence. You know, the further you are away from him, it's hard to treasure something you're not very intimate with. The more intimate you become, the more you value the presence. The more you cherish, the more you guard, the more you protect, the more you're not going to let anything come in. And when you do, like we all at times give in, your heart begins to ache again and long again for the place you were when you were quiet and you were at his feet like Mary and able to hear his word and you could hear the voice of his Holy Spirit because you had nurtured yourself in God's presence enough, put God first enough, and the relationship was growing enough, and then we get sidetracked. But you know what? It's time to get back on track. That I don't know where you are tonight, and I don't have a specific word for someone. We need to get back at the feet of Jesus. No comparison to all the blessings of this life. One of the greatest examples, as you all so well know, Moses. So many things awaiting them in the promised land that were totally God's provision. And God just as a father going, I'm going to give you all this because I want to bless you. And God at that point was pretty angry with their stubbornness. And he said, I'm not going to go up in your midst. You're a stiff-necked people. And if I go up in your midst, I'm going to consume you in a moment. Boom. I'm going to take you out in this condition you're in of idolatry and stubbornness. And he said, you all go. I'm going to fulfill my word. Go, but I'm not going with you. And Moses said, if you don't go. That was a lot of promises. And he said, if you don't go, I don't want anything to do with it. We sell them out for 30 pieces of silver. We sell them out for a lot of things, television, food, fun, fantasy, computers, games, sports. Well, think about it. The other things we put ahead of them, we're selling him out for those things. You just got to come to reality of what we're dealing with. We're selling him out. That our eyes would be open to glimpse how good, how great, how awesome. Our prayer, my prayer that you would taste another glimpse of how good your Savior is and that your heart struck with how much you've neglected him and how much closer to him you could be right now and are not, but that you wouldn't get under condemnation, you would just look to him, just like Peter did. That cock crew, after Peter was just insisting that he wouldn't deny the Lord. And you can't really do much worse than what Peter did. To speak that sure, be that sure of yourself, and to fail that bad. And then he locked eyes with Jesus. It's not like Jesus doesn't see our failure. It's not like he doesn't see that our hearts lust and put other things before him and covet. It's not like the Lord can't see our hearts and what we're doing and what we're choosing and what we really treasure. And our words don't buy God off. God knows our hearts, right? He sees our hearts. And he sees our frailties, and he sees our compromises, he sees our idolatry, and he sees the areas where we love self more than him, and others more than him, and different things more than him, and he's merciful, ready to forgive. Locked eyes with Peter. Peter broke. Wept bitterly, man. He didn't get to talk to Jesus at that time, but the next thing he hears is, go tell the disciples and Peter. God, what a redemptive God. What a merciful God. Aren't you thankful that his mercies are new every morning? If the Lord reckoned or counted sins, who would stand? Amen. What great mercy. Abundant mercy. And not only mercy, restoration. How long did it take for Peter to stand up there and be used as an instrument of God? When Satan's telling you, you're not fit now. Now, how are you going to be used to lay hands on the sick? Or how are you going to cast out devils? You just did this and you did that. And just get back up. You receive your forgiveness. You're thankful for the mercy of God. It's not like a lightness towards sin or anything, but you receive your forgiveness. And you're available again. And the Lord says, here am I. Who will I send? And you're like, here am I. The coal touches your lips. And, you know, that's Old Testament typology for us. The coal touches, you get into the word speaks to you, your heart's pricked. You make your confession, you make things right with Father. The coals touched your lips, right? You got to put it in New Testament terminology. And the Lord says, okay, the harvest is still plenteous. There's still souls that need to be reached. There's still believers that need to be encouraged and discipled. There's still people who need to be prayed for, right? And you're like, here am I. Just be available again. It's not by works, by availability. It's by trusting in his finished work. Knowing the relationship, knowing the character of God in that relationship. It's not complicated. Just continue. All these people that we're reading about, and you've been hearing Pastor talk about these great missionaries who just were totally sold out. But we were just fellowshipping about it the other day, how simple their faith was. It wasn't complicated. It's just simple. It's just taking God at his word. It's just childlike faith. And just wanting to be with Father. Just wanting to be with Father. So when you want to build a relationship, you want a better relationship with someone, what do? You spend time with them, right? You get asking them questions so you could know more about them, and you're ready to hear when they're speaking, and you want to know more about them, and they're sharing, and you're asking them stuff you want to know, and you begin to relate and share back and forth. You know how it is. We have a number, all of you have good relationships with different people. He told Thomas, you've seen and believed. How much more blessed are those who believe and haven't what? Seen, that's us. I mean, he told them it's to their advantage that he left because the Spirit who was with them would now be in them. He said it's to your advantage. And I believe that's part of that John 14. And the works that I do shall you do also by the power of the Holy Ghost. And greater works. Greater works from two perspectives. Not in quality. We're not going to do greater works in quality than Jesus did. Even John said if the things that Jesus did were written in books, if they were all written, even there wouldn't be room enough to contain. And it's just a metaphor to say there are so many things. There's way beyond. But these things are written that you might believe that he's the Son of God. There were so many things that wasn't all written down. And that's in 3 years. So his ministry was in 3 years. And he's going in my church now, generation after generation of believers who were indwelt by my Spirit. And he's saying, I want you to walk in my steps. And as I walked, I want you to walk. As he is, so are we in this world, 1 John says. And he that believes in him ought to walk as he walked. And the Holy Spirit's now taken residence in us. And when he says, and greater works than these, like Pastor said, because it's going to continue through all these members of the body. And it's not limited by 3 years till Jesus comes. And something else was going to happen to them. In John 14, he said, he's with you, but he will be where? About the Holy Spirit. I'll send you a comforter who's with you, and he will be where? In you. When he became in them, remember John 7 said? And that day of the feast where Jesus stood up and spoke out loud and said, if anyone believes in me, let him come. If anyone thirsts, let him come and drink. And out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. And it says, and this he spoke of the Spirit who had not yet been given because Jesus was not yet glorified or raised from the dead. And he shall be in you. And we've been hearing, we need more communion. That communion with Father through the person of the Holy Spirit who's resident within us. We need more sensitivity and awareness that the Holy Spirit resides in you. I mean, it's nice. My favorite time of the day is coming up here for prayer. I mean, I enjoy a lot of different things and my time with Tara and other people I fellowship with, but there's my highlight of my day is coming to seek Father up here. Now, it's not that it's just up here. And that whole principle of the place God's chosen to put his name, that's really specifically for Jerusalem, but we use that principle here because this is a place we come and seek God together. Right? It's like our Jerusalem. So, but it's, you can come here and not encounter God. You can come here and have bad quality time in prayer. It's not enough to come here. I mean, it's a good place to come. I've been coming since I've lived in this country, since 1986. And it's a great place to seek Father. But it's not enough to put in prayer time. Prayer is meeting with God, being with God, spending time with God, hearing God, sharing your heart with God, listening to him share his heart with you. It's relationship. It's communion. And everything that we're hearing about the power and the demonstration of the power and the availability for the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit and us walking according to what it says in the Word and realizing that these people are of like passions, these guys like Peter and John and these others like Elijah and other men who moved in this power, they're men of like passions. They're no different than us. Even though we know that, there's just still that tendency, and I battle as much as anyone else, to just somehow have them on a pedestal. Somehow, just in the back of my mind, that's Elijah. That's Elijah. But Elijah was used by God to destroy over 400 prophets in one shot, and then ran away from a woman right after it. I mean, what else are you going to say about like passions? Sorry, I'm not trying to put ladies down, but normally I'm not running from a woman most of the time. You might have to run from a guy sometimes, but I guess there are some women that can make you run. But she said, I'm coming after you. The way you took those prophets out, I'm coming to kill you. Now that sounded like the devil speaking through her, would you say? How many of you think Jezebel had the devil in her? I'd say. But all that we're talking about, just like the John 15, we can turn there briefly. And Pastor was reading it Sunday night. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will. It's similar to Psalm 37. If you delight in the Lord, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. There's some desires in us that don't agree with God's will. There's some things that we still want that haven't been purged out of us. And in the time we spend with him, he wants to purge out of us desires that we have that are not consistent with his will for us. So as you get time in his presence, his word will come. And like it says here in John 15, you are already clean by the word that I've spoken to you. So Ephesians talks about the washing of the water of the word, which is part of God using the word to make us part of that glorious church without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing, but that we would be holy and part of that glorious church. And so we get time in His Word, and then some of our different lusts and distractions and areas where we covet and begin to make, we put too much emphasis on something, if it becomes an idol, or we start getting angry over something or holding a grudge or an offense or whatever it is, areas that begin to hinder the flow of the Holy Spirit, the communion with the Holy. It doesn't mean you lose your salvation, but there's just some kind of breach and interference in your communion with God. And Father wants to take those areas in our lives that hinder Him from showing Himself mighty and revealing Himself to you and fulfilling in you and through you what He wants to do, making you the vessel He wants you to be, molding you into His image, and then using you more effectively to further His kingdom and purpose in this life. There's things in our life that have to go. If we don't get time with Him, it's going to be very hard for you to be able to hear, here's what has to go. Here's what's wrong with your heart. Because sometimes we're not hearing clearly and we're just guessing. We know something's not right, so we're guessing and we're guessing and we're offering different things up and we're trying to change outwardly different things. We're making good attempts outwardly that aren't bad outward things, but sometimes we're just kind of like shooting in the dark kind of. We know something's got to change. Well, I guess I got to get a little bit more devotions. Yeah, you do, but there's other things that Father wants to speak to you about your heart. And it's not just showing you what's wrong. It's purging you of areas and also making you more like Him in areas. So He's purging that you might bear more fruit. And that comes by you get purged, you can abide better. Now that area is out of the way. The abiding is enhanced. The communion and intimacy is enhanced. Your ability to hear His voice becomes more clear. The obstructions, the selfness, the ambition, the pride, the lust of the flesh begins to be put down as you pursue God and your spirit's being built up and you're becoming more effective as a true worshiper in spirit and truth. You're becoming more aware of your flesh. You're becoming more aware of the voice of self, which Fenelon says is more dangerous than the voice of the serpent. I think it's a great comment. You don't mistake your idols and what your flesh wants and your will and think it's God. Because you've been spending time and your senses are being what? Exercised through your obedience to discern between good and through obedience. You're being exercised. And don't be shocked that you get out of your communion and quality times you might have had in the Word that everything just goes well. Those times prepare you for whatever that day might bring. Right? So it doesn't mean you have effective time. You might even pull down principalities and have a good time of intercession and praise and worship and time in the Word and getting quiet and all the different aspects that come in communion with Father might be working or to some measure working. That doesn't mean everything in the day is going to go smooth. But now your spirit's been built up. You're more in touch and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Your perspective is more eternal. You're finding your worth and satisfaction in His presence, not things going your way. Because when things go our way, we feel better. We like it. Life is good when things go my way. In the natural, doesn't that make everybody happy in the natural? Things go your way. You get what you want. You get the best deal. You get the best thing for the lowest price. And all the lights turn green. And you go to buy a Honda and the guy gives you an Accord by accident and says, don't worry about the difference. That's when things go our way or even better than our way. I mean, our natural man likes it. Sometimes you finish encountering God and you get sent into the wilderness just like Jesus to be tempted of the devil, right? And God again proving His glory. God showing Himself mighty where Satan's trying to come and bring temptation, but God's using it to refine our character, to strengthen our hearts, to show Himself mighty on our behalf. Job might have had a great prayer day that day before all those trials started. You ever wake up and go, what did I do for this to happen today? You ever feel that way? I wonder how Job felt. You know, I wonder how many times he analyzed, if I just done this, or if I just didn't do that. You can keep looking back in regret, or look to Jesus now and forget the past, forget the regret, stop looking at your past failures, stop trying to figure out how you got here, stop trying to analyze and try to figure it out, because where does that lead you anyway? Do you have more peace? No. Normally it just leaves you empty. Dumbfounded, confused, sometimes frustrated, sometimes irritated, sometimes mad at yourself, at God, sometimes even others. Because when we lean to our own understanding and we're not looking at it through God's perspective, we're not going to draw the right conclusion. You're not going to see things properly, right? So. We could take a look at John 17. I'll start in the last verse, verse 26. And I've declared to them your name. Jesus' prayer to the Father here. I've declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be where?
In them.
In them. And I where?
In them.
Now, if God's love, the same love he has for Jesus, is in you, and Jesus is in you, what are you lacking tonight? You're lacking the awareness of it, right? You're not lacking the knowledge of it, because I'm reading that, and for most of you in here, you know what I just read. But how much of it do we know? I mean, by revelation, by experience, by communion, how much of this are we practicing? So we now, Father's wanting to take us more deeply, and I believe it's happening, but further into what we know, becoming changed by encountering God, where what we know becomes more life to us, more revelation to us, more real to us. It becomes more conviction in us because we're having more times in his presence, more time in prayer, quicker to obey, it's been a blessing, man, just hearing all the testimonies. I was just in chapel today and different of the young lives were just sharing the different opportunities. Just bless my heart. Just how many opportunities. Then I get home and one of the kids is in my neighborhood. I was having some prayer time and I'm like, who are these kids out here talking? Cause I could just hear them through the window. So I'm looking out trying to see who it is. What are they up to? Well, I didn't realize one of them was one of our kids right on my street. And that talking while I was having prayer time was one of our kids witnessing to someone. That was pretty cool. That was after being excited about hearing it in chapel this morning. So the Lord's opening doors. He's blessing. He's opening doors. And I believe we're going to see things like you can keep your finger here. And take a quick look at Isaiah 64, a verse we had been looking at in the last year or two. You know how Elijah saw that little cloud coming, but it came with some rain after those years? The 3 or 3.5 years? I can't remember right now, but that little cloud had rain in it, man. I believe rain's coming. I mean in the spirit, God raining on us. God showing himself mighty in our midst. Pastor stirring our hearts by the Holy Spirit about coming with expectation. Expectation of God's power, God's presence, God's love, touching your heart. And just want to continue to encourage you, even in the little things, to not take them for granted. Just the little things when our lives start kind of slipping away and we start losing some of the discipline. But don't get away from the little things of being on time for children's church. If you serve there. Amen. Being on time in the house of God. Not just skipping out prayer days because you want to stay home and watch a show. Those aren't the things that lead to God visiting. When you look at all the different revivals and people who really tarried and waited on God and set their hearts to see visitation, revival, God visit their communities, they weren't making those kind of decisions. They're making different decisions. They're making decisions to make room for God to move, get there early, stay there later, and tarrying for God's presence. So just want to encourage you, in the little areas. Take a look. If you see the little areas, don't get under condemnation, but just go, you know what? This isn't what Father wants. This is just kind of some of the natural man just getting caught up or distracted or just a lack of discipline. Get back on track. Let's not even the 30 minutes before church. Let's make sure that that's not religious prayer time. That 30 minutes before service. I'm not saying it's religious. I'm just saying we don't want it to be religious. First of all, take it serious. Take the full 30 minutes serious. Instead of... us getting more comfortable to miss 5 minutes, miss 10 minutes, miss 15 minutes, the people who expect and believe for revival don't operate that way. They come 9:25, then they come 9:20, then they come 9:15, then they get there 4 a.m. It moves that way, not the other way. I'm serious. That's how revival works. And it doesn't work. That's not like, oh, we feel proud of ourselves for having more time. It's not about that. It's hunger. It's thirst. It's expectation. Like that lady, what moved that lady toward Jesus is faith. Her faith made her whole. Her trust in God that maybe, and as we heard, she knew that verse in Malachi about the border of his wings that's prophesied in Malachi's chapter 3 and chapter 4 there, that there's healing in his wings. I think that's a great interpretation of scripture. But man, her faith wouldn't be denied. And each time somebody moved toward Jesus in faith, there could be different people around. They let that guy in through the roof. And I mean, he saw their faith and he's like, be healed. I love the one with the centurion who said, my servant is at home sick. And he's like, but I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Just speak what? Just speak the word only. And I know he'll be healed. My servant will be healed. And Jesus said, I've not found such great faith in all Israel, because that guy believed that what Jesus said would come to pass. That guy didn't even have a New Testament like us. That guy didn't even know the verse. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing means audience. He didn't even know the verse, and he had more faith than us. You're not lacking knowledge, you're lacking revelation knowledge. You're not lacking knowledge, you're lacking communion knowledge. That's not a reproof. We're not lacking information, but this information becoming life. We need more of the anointing. I believe it's what we want. Amen. He said in Jeremiah, what? Call unto me and I'll show you what? Great and mighty things which thou knowest. Not, is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. There's nothing too difficult for him. In Isaiah 64, verse 1, oh, that you'd rend the heavens and come down. Well, I believe it's time for us to just get this as a regular part of our prayer again. We need God's visitation. We want that latter rain. We want God to pour out his spirit afresh upon us. I don't want to just hear about Azusa Street. I want that here. I want you to want that here. I want us all to want it together with one heart and one mind and settle for nothing else. You can call it Azusa Street. You can call it the Book of Acts. I don't really care what you name it. It's Bible. It's promised. It's supposed to be normative Christianity. It's not spectacular Christianity. It's Bible Christianity. So don't think, well, Azusa Street, it was sovereign. Could it really happen here? Well, then don't think of Azusa Street. Go to the Book of Acts. It was promised and it came to pass. And there are some who didn't get to partake. He told them, go wait in the upper room, right? And they went and waited. Of all the people who had heard that, 120 went up there. You gotta be among the people who are of another spirit. When everybody else is doubting and just choosing their flesh and choosing what's comfortable and what's easy, and they're going by what they can see and feel and hear and what all the reports are coming and saying, this is what the facts are. They weren't looking at that, man. Those spies came back. They're of another spirit. And it was simple. What made them of another spirit, Joshua and Caleb, they believed what God said. And that's what made them of another spirit. Sure, you learn things about them. Like Caleb said, give me my mountain at 80 years old. You see Joshua was in the tabernacle seeking father when Moses left. So you see things about them that caused them to be men of faith. But the bottom line that made them of another spirit is they took God at his word. If you take God at his word, no matter what the consequence, no matter, you might even have fear while you're doing it, but you take God at his word, you'll be of another spirit. We want to be a people of another spirit. We don't want to just be full of right doctrine and not have a passionate first love burning in our hearts for Jesus. Just ask God to set your heart on fire for him. Begin to acknowledge your apathy. Tell him you want victory over these areas of carnality you've been allowing. You've been settling for less than what he promised. And you begin to make covenant with God and seek his face and say, I'm not going to turn you loose till you bless me. And you begin to see changes in your heart. It might be embers, man. And that flame starts being fanned. And you never saw that you could be that person that God is wanting to make you. But why not you? Why should we limit what God wants to do in our lives? He's no respecter of persons. He's not ruled or canceled any of you out. You could become a great intercessor. You could become a great prayer warrior. You could become the best witness in this church, and you might be even the worst right now. You could become the best if you let God. It's not about competition. I'm just making a point. You could be the weakest witness in this church, and in 1 year, you could be some. We could be looking and going, you, glory to God. That life has been turned upside down. These are the people who turned the world upside down. But before they did that, their lives got turned upside down. You got to let him turn your life upside down. And you got to be willing to do what he says. That means you might lose TV time, sports time, workout time. You start cutting out other things to carve out more time to be with Jesus. If you want to be much for God, you got to be much. And we love the quote, but how much are we following the quote, right? You're going to be as much like Jesus. According to what you sow, you will reap. You sow little into the relationship, you'll reap little. You sow much, right? You want more of them? It's going to be according to your faith, according to your pursuit, according to your hunger. And God will not deny the hungry, thirsty heart. That girl, that lady who said one thing is, when Mary sat at his feet and Martha was caught up with what, and I'm not trying to give Martha a bad rap. She was a woman of faith too. But in that situation, she got caught up. And she wanted Jesus to tell her sister to get up and do something and help her. And that's what we begin to do when we're in our flesh. We want to put our will off on God. We think we know what's better. We think we know what the mind of God is. We're so prideful in our natural man, we even want to analyze and think we know how God should be God. The more you spend time in the presence of God, the more you'll learn that you don't know. And all that stuff we think we know, we start putting our hand not only over our mouth and our hearts remaining prideful, but our hearts begin to change and we begin to embrace humility internally. And I'm telling you, we need more humility. I know I do. And we need more visitation. Oh, that you'd rend the heavens as we're about to close. Rend the heavens and come down. That the mountains might shake at your presence. As fire burns brushwood. As fire causes water to boil. To make your name known to the adversaries. I believe that's one thing God wants to do. God wants to make his name known to the adversaries. Not by litigation, but by visitation. The mockers, behold that God's doing something that can't be denied. The mockers. His compassion to reach the broken and the lost and the bruised reed and the smoking flax he won't quench, and God to humble the proud. That the nations may what? Tremble at your presence. Verse 3, when you did awesome things for which we did not look, you came down, the mountain shook at your presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has eye seen any God besides you who acts for the one who what? Waits for him, and you meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. Take a look at Isaiah 61. Excuse me, Isaiah 60. I didn't get to it, and I don't know if I'll get back over there in John 17 where Jesus was talking about that the love wherewith you've loved me. Yeah, I did read it in verse 26. But above in some of the verses, it talks about the love, Father loving us as he loved Jesus. But it also says, and the glory thou hast given me, I've given. Do you remember that? That's Jesus talking. The glory thou hast given me, I've given them. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God. And we heard so powerfully Sunday, whatever will glorify Father, as we're seeking God and looking for more of His power and visitation, if we could just say, Father, just make my heart tender toward wanting to give You the glory at all times. Help me. Help me to be quick to recognize pride or thinking I'm anything or anything that would cause me to be lifted up or think I deserve any credit or any recognition. And it's in all of us naturally. We all have that in our natural man. And the grace of God's sufficient to battle it. We don't get every victory, but to battle it and to be victorious. And just want to encourage you as we're seeking for God's power, God's visitation, God to start drawing people in here. Just also, Father, make me jealous for Your glory alone, that You'll not share with any man. Just like the Psalm says, not unto us, Lord, not unto us, but to Your name give glory. That heart that seeks His glory in all things. Arise and shine, verse 1 of Isaiah 60, for Your light has come. And then look at this, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. I believe that's the hour that we're in. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you, and the Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings of the bright and kings to the brightness of your rising. Powerful. Be worth putting in your notes and going back and look at that. Arise and shine, your light has come. Back to John 17. Oh, that He would be our delight, that our hearts would delight in Him. Just like the Psalm 34 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Just come, Isaiah 55 says to everyone who thirsts, come and drink. You who have no money, come. Just so many invitations where the Lord's saying, come. Come to me. Come and drink. You who are thirsty, you who are heavy laden. He's standing at the door of our hearts and He's always looking for that place of communion with us. That we use that verse for people coming to Christ or coming backslide or coming back home, and that's okay. But contextually, He's like, He's talking to believers who were lukewarm and He's dealing with their lives and He wants them to get back on track. And He says, I stand at the door and I knock. Let me come in and dine with you. What an invitation. There's just too many times we're making practical decisions. We're not like bad, rebellious, wicked, evil people, but we're making too many decisions to not let Jesus be as intimate with us as He wants. Anyone say amen to that? Let's do something about it. Let's not just keep agreeing that we need to change. Let's do something about it. What can you do starting tonight to step out of the boat and take a step of obedience to become more like Jesus by letting Him have more place in your life than you did yesterday? Just think at one area. Is it giving up the news? Is it giving up your ninth snack? I don't know what it is in your life. It's not about what you can't do. It's not about that. It's about how much you want Him. So don't think about what you're giving up. Just think about, I want to know Him more. And to do that, I got to spend time with Him. And that includes getting in His Word. And I've never heard of anyone doing that and going, what a horrible sacrifice. Wow, I'm so empty by seeking God. And all the other things that I gave up, wow, I got to have them to be happy again. That's what the flesh thinks. Taste and see how good He is. So as we're closing with this John 17, I just wanted to draw your eyes to that verse I was just trying to quote. Actually, look at the end of verse 23, that you've loved them as you've loved me. Look at verse 22. And the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. That's powerful. There's no place for strife in the body. There's no place for strife in our relationships. There's no strife. There's no place. There shouldn't be any place for strife in our marriages, strife with our children. Strife is of the devil. Division is not of God. Unless we're dividing with people because they have other gods and other idols and we're separating from them for the right reason. I'm not talking about that. So just be aware of Satan's desire to divide and conquer, to use you as an instrument of Satan to bring division. Because the Bible says only by pride comes division. Only by. So every time there's division, strife, factions, that type of spirit, it is always because there's pride in the heart. Let's pursue humility, Christ-likeness, to be the greatest among us. We've tasted a realm of love and relating and relationship building here that's very precious and I believe very rare in this hour. That would make you even more of a target for Satan to try to come and bring strife and get you to get your nose out of joint and begin to try to read into people's hearts. And just be careful on that spirit of judging. Slow to speak, slow to judge, slow to trust in your suspicion, slow to trust in your perception. Don't mess with people's motives and think you know their motives. You most of the time don't even know your own. And harsh words are very painful. So anybody in here who's been guilty of using their tongue's being used to bring other than edification, that is a type of spirit that contributes to bringing strife and wounds that go deep down, Proverbs says, that Father can still heal. But you don't want to be the source of bringing that occasion to stumble in other people's lives. Amen. Remember, man, that speech seasoned with grace that's seeking others' best, their edification. And even if we do have to bring and point out unrighteousness or someone or help them recover from an area, it's in kindness, it's in humility, considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted. You that are spiritual in that situation, restore a person a spirit of humility, right? Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time in your presence. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand before the Lord? Amen. Stand up in faith. Now shout to the Lord and run around and start dancing. No, just kidding. That's not how the Holy Spirit will do it. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your presence. So thankful for your goodness to us. And Father, as your Holy Spirit's been drawing us and we don't get it right and you're merciful and you prick our hearts again and we don't get it right and the righteous man gets back up. We do thank you tonight for your mercy, your forbearance, your long suffering with us. And in that same spirit, we need to have mercy and love and forbearance with others as we minister to them and see their weaknesses. Let us continue to remember that we are the chief of sinners. Help us to see that if we want to be first, we need to be least. If we want to be great in your kingdom, we need to die to the ambition of what this world says greatness is. And seek servanthood and hearts of humility and to not be seen and to be willing to do whatever it takes to see the kingdom advance. If nobody sees it, if nobody knows what I did, if I never get recognition, I'm doing it as unto the Lord and I'm not going to let my left hand know what my right hand's doing. We don't need to toot our horns. We don't need to make sure we're seen. There's too much eye service and concern for what people think. And Father, we're asking you to free our hearts from the fear of men's faces, from the concern for our reputation, from just that little bit of pride. It's just a little bit of pride that wants some credit, some recognition, and it's in all of us. And we ask you to forgive us. We thank you for your mercy to us, Father. You've been good to us. Father, you're stirring our hearts, and I'm asking you in Jesus' name, that expectation pastor's been talking about, that expectation of letting God be God, expecting God to do what he promised. Let our hearts be stirred in faith and expectation in our personal lives when we leave here, not just when we come here, but at home, in our neighborhoods, in relating to our wives, our faith would be stirred up with in our marriages. There would be a revival of love and passion and care and kindness with our children. The same love, the same anointing to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. To take nothing for granted. To not let any over-familiarity, not just with leadership, but with our spouses, with our kids, with one another. That's just so-and-so. Lord, that we would see one another through redemptive hearts, through the blood of Jesus Christ, that there'd be a true unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And our awareness of one another's weaknesses wouldn't cause us to in any way be critical or suspicious. that we would truly walk out of Fiume by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for all these things and give you the glory for what you've been doing in our lives, in our homes, the witnesses you've been making us, the testimonies. And Father, we're asking you to continue to prune us that we'd bear more fruit. And as you prune us again, sometimes it's painful, that we would allow you to prune and we would say, yes, I'm the man and I do need to change. And we continue to let you as the potter mold us as clay. And as you prune us more, we bear much fruit. And you said, by this fruitfulness, my Father's glorified, and it's going to be fruit that remains. And Father, that's what we want, to see you glorified and have fruit that remains. And at the end of it all, to see you face to face and hear, well done. Make it our heart's pursuit. Let it be the treasure of our hearts. To love you first. To love you with all of our hearts. To hold nothing back from you. And that those who have any area that's been exposed in them where they're holding back and holding on to self and still not pouring their lives and being totally sold out for you, I'm asking you to bring true conviction upon their lives until they're brought to repentance and they let you be their first love. The passion, the yearning, the longing of their hearts, that you would have your rightful place in our hearts, in our homes, in our marriages, and in our midst. We thank you and praise you and give you all the glory for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Turn to someone and say, Jesus is coming soon.